Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, it's John Edmiston from Insights for Eternity, and we are beginning a new series. We have just finished off Colossians, and we learned a lot about Epaphras and the early church and the church at Laodicea. And now we're jumping into a series that's a bit more theological, but very practical. And it's called Downloading Grace from Heaven. It's about how you can have the grace of God abundant in your life, really in your life, because of what Jesus has done for you. Before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand your grace, your peace, and the power of the cross. Bless this broadcast, and may it minister to many. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, when we talk about the grace of God, a lot of people think, oh, theology, and they run away scared. Well, it's not really scary, because there's three kinds of grace, and we're just going to be talking about one of them for the next 10 weeks or so. Grace is God's unmerited favor. It's God's goodness to you and I. It's all the heavenly stuff that he pours into our life freely through the Holy Ghost. For instance, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. And the grace gifts, the charisma or the charismata, they're the spiritual gifts that we use, such as praying in tongues, translating, praying in tongues, healing, miracles, and faith. So God is constantly downloading stuff into our life. We receive ministries from heaven. We receive all sorts of good things from heaven. And that's the grace of God. It's called grace because we don't earn it. It's free in every way because Christ has purchased it to us, purchased it for us. And so there are three kinds of grace that theologians talk about, and we'll be focusing on one of them. Prevenient grace is the grace of God that surrounds our life and brings us to salvation. It's all the things that God does that lead us step by step to accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I came as an atheist. I was rebelling against God, and yet God exposed me to lots of Christians who prayed for me, and that was his prevenient grace. All those Christians praying for me and witnessing to me and annoying me, eventually I came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ when God appeared to me as a light. And I realized that God existed. That's a whole other story. But that's God's prevenient grace, him keeping me alive until I could be saved, and all the other good things that he did, and all the preparation I can see that he put in my life to be a missionary. For instance, I was in a family that traveled a lot around the world. And so he exposed me to many cultures. And that's God's prevenient grace. Nextly, it's the saving grace, the justifying grace. The grace of God we receive when we're born again, and that gives us the righteousness of Christ in God, that makes us clean, that washes us with the blood, that makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's the grace that people most often talk about. It's saving grace or justifying grace. It's the grace that entered into my life when I was born again, when I was converted, when I realized that God existed. That's saving grace. And we hear a lot about that in the book of Romans. But after we're born again, does the grace of God stop operating in our life? Well, of course not. We have sustaining grace. That's the holiness that's poured out in our hearts. The love and joy and peace, all the spiritual fruit, they come from the grace of God. They're poured out in our life, and we walk in that sustaining grace. Because without the grace of God, we just go nowhere as Christians. It's all up and down. As the Bible says, in my flesh dwells no good thing. There's nothing in me that can contribute to my spiritual walk. It's from faith to faith. It's from grace to grace. And so I, John, am not really capable of fulfilling the will of God. It's only through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that I can be good in any way, shape, or form. And that grace is freely given to me so that I can walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace is given to me and given to you so that we might be holy. Now, there's a bit of a misunderstanding about grace that once we get the grace of God, we can do what we like. And that's justifying grace without sanctifying grace. So the sanctifying grace, the sustaining grace of God, is what we'll be talking about for the next 10 weeks or so. And that sustaining grace of God is what keeps us going as a Christian, and that grace is given to make us holy. So the idea that we can just be saved, that our sins are wiped away by the cross, and then we can go out and get drunk and sleep around and steal and be a bank robber is a silly idea. And the people that put that out, like Joseph Prince and a few others, those people do not understand the Christian walk. We're to be perfect. We're to be in the will of God. We're to love one another with a love that's from Jesus Christ, a love that we cannot ever generate in ourselves. And so we need God's grace operating in our heart and our mind. So this creates a great problem. Where do you get grace from? Can you go down to the supermarket and buy grace? Can you order it from Amazon? No, not at all. Grace doesn't come through the internet. Grace doesn't come to you through the radio, though this teaching may come to you through the radio. Grace does not exist in a hole in the ground. We can't go over and dig it up. It's not like gold or silver that we can find. It's nowhere to be found on earth. And it's certainly not in us. We're just full of our own problems, our own flesh, and our own struggles. And we can't give it to one another. I can't take my grace and give it to you. You've got to receive your own grace. So we've got a problem. Where do we find grace? Well, grace comes from heaven. That's why this series is called Downloading Grace from Heaven, because we've got to download it. God's Spirit speaks it into our spirit. We go to God in prayer and we say, Lord, I need grace. I need patience. I need love. I need kindness. My tank is empty. I'm dry. Fill me up right now with whatever you need to be filled up with. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, wisdom, and many other things. They come from God. And you need to download them from God by faith. Faith grabs hold of all the good things of God and takes them from God and puts them in our own heart, our own mind, and our own will. You see, by ourselves, our will is bent. It's crooked. It's in captivity. Our own will isn't very good, which is why we struggle to pray. So we need to be renewed in our mind. We need to be renewed in our heart. And we need to be renewed in our will, and that comes from God. So you need to cry out to God and say, change my will. Change my mind. Change my heart. Let your Holy Spirit come and dwell in me. Let the grace of God come and dwell in me. And you need to cry out for heavenly downloads from spirit to spirit. Because you're not going to find it in a book. You're not going to find it even in a theology book. You can read all the books you like, but grace comes from God. And grace comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. And there are some very, very smart people who have written some very deep theology books who still don't have much grace of God in their life. I used to live next door to a very famous theologian for a while. And he was a cold person. He wasn't friendly at all. And that made me very disillusioned as a young Christian. Thought, this guy is right at the top of the tree. He's written commentaries. He's very, very famous. And he doesn't even say hi to me. And I go over there. I was a young Bible college student. Go over there and try and get some help from him. And he'd sort of snub me and push me away. And I had this very difficult assignment on the Old Testament and the New Testament and law and grace. And I wanted some clarity. And I went to ask him. And he just treated me like I was an idiot. That person, he was very smart, but he didn't have much grace of God in his life. He didn't have much love. And it's then that the Lord used that incident to point out to me that grace and Christian character doesn't come out of books. It doesn't come out of knowledge, though that's important. The knowledge is important. The work he was doing was important in some ways. But in his own life, he hadn't received much of the grace of God. And our life, our walk with God, our holiness comes directly from heaven. It doesn't come out of study. Study is still a good thing. I've done a lot of it. I spent 6 years in full-time theological study, and I'm an avid reader. I believe in study. But the grace of God operating in my life comes through prayer. And prayer is more important than study, and it comes through worship, and it comes through fellowship. It comes from getting in the presence of God. And without getting in the presence of God, your spiritual life is going to be terribly, terribly, terribly dry. So how can you get hold of the grace of God? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the easy path in the Christian life, the path of grace, the path of having God himself work in us, because we simply cannot do it ourselves. So in these next few broadcasts, I'll attempt to explain how we live in grace in the simplest and most practical of terms. Now, the grace of God supplies us with heavenly things such as wisdom, patience, kindness, self-control, and above all, love. These things come from heaven and not from earth, and certainly not from our own best efforts. Let's take the example of patience. We've all tried to be patient, and it hasn't worked. We just get more impatient. In addition, there is no place on earth where you can go to buy patience. And trying to manufacture something like patience all by yourself does not work. However, we need patience, and we need patience on a daily basis, often in a very immediate way if you're dealing with your wife, your children, or your co-workers. Since we cannot purchase patience, and we can't manufacture it, and learning patience is tedious and slow, we need a much better way. That way is to download patience directly from God's heavenly storehouse, and I'm going to teach you how to do that. I'm going to teach you how to download the good things out of God's heavenly storehouse, and the good things are spiritual things. You can't download cash, you can't download a car, but you can download love and peace and joy, and those things are the most important things. This is true of every heavenly virtue. Every fruit of the Spirit can be downloaded from heaven, and everything that is good, wise, and holy. For in ourselves, that is in our flesh, there is no good thing. We desire to do good, but we cannot carry it out. We can find that in Romans 7 and verse 18. We simply do not have what it takes. Therefore, we have to get it from God in heaven. The good news is Christ has purchased all these wonderful virtues for us on the cross. The good things we need, spiritual, not material, are ours for the asking. We can just go to God and ask Him for all these wonderful spiritual qualities. Here's a rather simple illustration. Heaven is like a gas station, or what you call a petrol station in Africa, with huge underground tanks full of good qualities that we need. Wisdom, patience, kindness, peace. They're all in the petrol station. They're all in the big underground tanks. And we don't see them because we're spiritually blind, unfortunately. But we need them. So we drive in, pretend the car's us as a human being. We drive in and our spiritual tank is low. For instance, we are right out of patience and we're right out of self-control and we have no peace. So our spiritual tank is low, and so we go to the heavenly petrol station, and by faith we ask God to fill our tank up again. After our spiritual tank is full, we find out that Christ has paid the price and that we can come back to the heavenly petrol station anytime we have a need. We don't have to pay for these things. They're precious, they're eternal, they're wonderful, but they're free. So we can go to God and say, I need patience. Please download patience from heaven, from your spirit, into my mind and my heart right now. You can plead and say, Lord, I believe I'm receiving patience. I believe I'm receiving wisdom. I believe I'm receiving the joy of the Lord. If you're depressed, try this prayer. I believe I'm receiving the joy of the Lord in all my circumstances. Pray it. I believe I'm receiving the joy of the Lord in all my circumstances. I believe I'm receiving the joy of the Lord in all my circumstances. And pray it in a way like you're just pouring stuff into your soul, that it's all coming from heaven into your soul, and your soul that's dry, your soul that's had problems in life, that's full of anxiety, is now getting filled up with the joy of the Lord, and you can pray for the peace of the Lord, and you just keep downloading it by faith from God's Spirit into your spirit, and you just have to believe that you've received it. This is available to us because Jesus is our high priest. He's been through all the tough stuff, and he's gone to heaven. And it says in Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses. He understands when you're out of patience. He understands when you're up against the wall and you're frustrated and the joy's left your life and your spiritual tank is low. He's not going to rebuke you. He understands your weaknesses because he's been there. He's been tired. He's been thirsty. He's been hungry. He's been through the cross. He knows your situation, and he will graciously give you everything you need. Let's keep going. For we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help or in time of need. So whenever you need help, whenever your spiritual tank is dry, you go to the throne of grace. Jesus is on that throne of grace. He's not going to get mad at you at all. He's going to give you what you need. So God is very, very, very kind. And it says in James 1 about wisdom, which is one of these things we can download from heaven. James 1, 5 to 8. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to everyone generously without a rebuke, and it will be given to him. Look at that again. James 1, 5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom or patience or kindness or goodness or self-control, whatever you lack, he should ask God. That's how we get hold of it. We ask God, who gives to everyone generously without a rebuke. So if you need self-control and say, God, I need self-control, please download self-control into my spirit. God will give you self-control because that's his promise. And Christ has bought it for you on the cross. But here's the but. It says in James 1 verse 6, but he must ask in faith without any doubts. For the one who has doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Such a person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we find that God's preparing to download this stuff into our spirit from his Holy Spirit. And we go, oh, well, I don't think God's going to give that to me yet. We doubt what God's going to do. And when we pray for self-control, oh, God can't possibly give me self-control. I'm too hopeless, blah, blah, blah. I've tried so many times. But he can and he will. You just got to believe that it's coming to you. So you can pray like this. Heavenly Father, give me self-control around women or around your annoying children or whatever else. Whatever else you need self-control. You can say, Heavenly Father, give me self-control of my tongue or my mouth or my lips. And God can give you that self-control if you believe that you're receiving it. And when you start running out of self-control, you go back to the heavenly petrol station and you fill up the tank. You fill up the self-control tank again. You've got to realize that your soul goes up and down and bounces around and runs out of spiritual virtues quite quickly, and you need to go back to God for another dose of self-control. You can't say, well, I prayed for self-control and I had it for a little bit, and then it just went away. Of course it went away, it got used up. You need to fill up the tank again. And so you don't go blaming God. God's willing to supply you with self-control and kindness and gentleness and patience and all the things that you need, including love. He's willing to give you those things. You just got to stop doubting and making excuses. You've just got to say, yes, I'm receiving this from God. I believe I'm receiving self-control. I believe that I'm receiving patience. I believe that I'm and just believe that you're receiving those things deep down into your spirit. So let's look at the example of wisdom for today, because wisdom's the fundamental thing. You might say love is. Yes, love is very important as well. But in the first of God's ways is wisdom. It says that in Proverbs chapter 8. Even before God founded the universe, he had wisdom working at his side. The whole universe is run by the wisdom of God. And God has a lot of wisdom that he wants to download into you and into me. So this is the fundamental thing that we have to download. And we saw a bit about wisdom in James 1, 5 to 8. So in Job chapter 28, we find God talking about wisdom. And this is it's a stunning description of the elusiveness of wisdom. But where can wisdom be found? And where is understanding located? No man can know its value, since it cannot be found in the land of the living. The ocean depths say, it is not in me, while the sea declares, I don't have it. Gold cannot be exchanged for it, and silver cannot be weighed out for its price. Wisdom cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass do not compare with it, and articles of fine gold cannot be exchanged for it. Coral and quartz are not worth mentioning. The price of wisdom is beyond pearls. Topaz from Cush cannot compare with it, and it cannot be valued in pure gold. Where, then, does wisdom come from? And where is understanding located? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and Death say, we have heard news of it with our ears. But God understands the way to wisdom, and he knows its location. So we find that all the virtues of God, primarily wisdom and love and everything else, are not located here on this earth. We can't buy it with gold or silver or American dollars or Nigerian money or whatever money that you have in your country. That cannot buy wisdom. It has to come from God's Spirit into our spirit. And let's look at how that happens in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 9. And we'll go on to there a little bit further. However, we do speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye did not see and ear did not hear, and what never entered the human mind, God prepared this for those who love him. So the wisdom of God, the invisible wisdom of God that has not come to our eyes or our ears and has not entered the mind of man, that's prepared for us by God. God wants to give us the hidden wisdom. He wants to give us the secret wisdom, and we have to lay hold of it by faith. And this wisdom can change your life and make your life a lot better. And in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says it's a wisdom that only we can understand. It's only the wisdom that born-again people can understand. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So, how do we get hold of them? God's Spirit gives them to us. God's Spirit reveals all this to us. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2:9, and we'll go down to verse 12, and we'll unravel this. Let's learn about how to download things from God. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who was from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. So you have received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is helping you to understand the things given you by God. And the Holy Spirit can speak to your human spirit and download them into you, into your spirit, into your soul, and into your mind. You can suck the good things of the Holy Spirit down into yourself, and you can change your personality. You can change the problem parts of you by downloading good things from the Holy Ghost. God has imparted to them, to you, the secret things of God, the things that only the Spirit of God knows, God wants to give to you. Now you say, okay, I'm unworthy. No, you're not unworthy. If you're Bible-believing, born-again Christian, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you. That's the justifying grace that we talked about earlier on. You're clean. You're righteous in the eyes of God. And Jesus has done all this that you might partake of heavenly wisdom, heavenly kindness, heavenly grace, that these things will become your qualities and that you will become like Jesus, like the image of God. So these things are free. Let's look at Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. It's free. The water of life, the Holy Spirit within you, is free. And you can go to God for more and more of the Holy Ghost. So God is imparting all this to you. Luke 11 tells us that God will give the Holy Spirit freely to those who ask, who seek, who knock, and he's not going to give you a wrong spirit instead. So God is moving in your heart, he's moving in your mind, and so you can receive the wonderful invisible things of God through the Spirit of God. Now the Spirit of God takes truth from God and reveals it to us. He's our heavenly teacher and instructor, and you can find that in John 14:26 and in 1 John 2:20-27. The Apostle John tells us repeatedly that we have an anointing from the Holy One that teaches us all things. And so this is how grace works. Grace is spiritually imparted by God's Holy Spirit to our spirit, soul, and body through faith when we set our minds on things above. Now Romans 8:4-6 says, the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace, but the mindset on the flesh is death. So when you set your mind on the Spirit, when you set your mind on receiving the grace of God by faith, then all the good things come from God's Spirit, to your mind, to your heart, to your soul, and you have life and peace. So where you put your mind is really important when it comes to downloading the grace of God. You can't download the grace of God when you're full of bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, and all that kind of stuff. You can't be dwelling in the flesh and trying to curse people and then download the grace of God. That's why you have to turn around. You have to repent. You have to take your mind off the flesh, put it on the Spirit, and start downloading heavenly things into your life. So the heavenly petrol station is open for business. You can go there anytime, drive in and say, I'm low on patience. I'm low on kindness. I don't seem to have any self-control anymore. God, fill me up. And God will say, that's okay. I died to give you those things. I know your tank's low. I'm going to fill it up today. Just stay there and pray. Just stay in the Spirit. Set your mind on the Word of God. Set your mind on truth. And I'm going to pour it into you. That's why daily quiet time is really, really important. That's why worship and going to church is important. So your Spirit's got to connect to God's Spirit and download the things that you need, all those qualities in your life that you need, goodness and faithfulness and all the things that you struggle with in life, God's prepared to give you freely. You can't construct them yourself. You've tried to do that. You've tried to be patient. You've tried to be this. You've tried to be loving. You've tried to have peace, but peace has eluded you. But God can give you peace. And you can go to God and say, I believe I'm receiving the perfect peace of God, and He will give it to you and you will have it. Now, there's a lot about this on one of my websites, and you can look at it. It's newtestamentprayer.com. New Testament Prayer is one word. So it's newtestamentprayer.com. And if you go down on the left, you'll see a link that says Downloading Grace from Heaven. There's a series of Bible studies there. You can download them freely, share them around your church, preach them, teach them, do whatever you like. I've made them easy to photocopy. So just black and white. So they're easy for you to photocopy and print out. It's not going to cost you much money. So you just have to go to newtestamentprayer.com. Scroll down till you see the little heading that says eBooks, and under there you'll see Downloading Grace from Heaven, and you'll be able to download that and it will bless you. And there's also some prayers to pray and things that can help you to download grace. So that URL again is newtestamentprayer.com. newtestamentprayer.com. This is John Edmiston signing off. God bless and have a wonderful day, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy this series as we go through it. God bless you all. Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.